Hi, I'm Katie and you're listening to the Home Ed Voices podcast, where I talk to people about their home education adventures and experiences here in the UK. This is episode 18 and this week I'm talking to Becca from Fiddlesticks Kids. We talk about home educating alongside childminding and running an online business. Becca tells me about thinking outside the box when organising her week, and we have great board game recs for the autumn. And now, on with the episode. This week, I'm talking to Becca from Fiddlesticks Kids on Instagram. Hello, thank you very much for coming to the podcast.
Hello, I'm glad to be here.
Right, first question. Tell me a bit about your family.
Well, I am a single parent to one child. She's 5 years old. Her name's Lizzie. And I'm also a childminder. So we also have, you know, between 12 and 15 other children from sort of 6 months to 10-ish around at various times of the day.
That's a lot of children.
It can get hectic at mealtimes. Yes, it's like a permanent party.
Yes. You have to build up your stamina, I guess, over time for that kind of thing. Oh, wow. So how did you start home educating?
Well, before I had my daughter, I worked in schools. I was a special needs assistant and I was there for about 10 years. And I kind of just decided that I'd rather do it at home.
Yeah.
I think it's just seeing another side of it. And it's just the fact that you can be so much tailored and in tune to what works for one child. And it's just, you can be so much more efficient, really, I think is the main deal.
I think also, I guess, you get to do the good stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you get to do the bit of your job that you probably like more than having to deal with, like, I don't know, all the paperwork or the bureaucracy or that this thing has to change.
Definitely. There's a lot more freedom to choose exactly which way you want to go and what you want to do. And if something's not working, to just switch it up without having to fill out two or three forms as to why you're switching it up.
Yeah.
That's definitely a good idea.
I guess it also, like, family members, like, you know, extended family members are always asking me, like, what do you do about writing up your lesson plan for, like, three different children? It's like, it's not like that at all. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, my lesson plan is, it's very, very minimal. I kind of write a list.
Yeah.
Basic things once a term, generally, just what I want to put out for us to do, and that's about it.
Yeah. Do you then tie that into, this is where we aside and say that you have an Etsy shop that sells hand painted educational printables.
Yes. Generally, I make the printables to what we're working on, and then offer them to sell to anyone else covering the same themes. And that's both for what I'm doing with Lizzie and with the younger children as well. Because obviously, I do have some early years minded children that we provide a nursery based education for.
Oh, that's cool.
Like play themes as well from a month to month, so Lizzie gets to still do that and a little bit extra as well, which is really nice. And she gets to do that for a bit longer.
Yeah, that's really nice, because five, they still really enjoy that stuff.
Yes,
you know, you get to really straddle that. So did you know how long ago was it that you knew that you actually were going to home educate, or that you really wanted to?
Well, I've always wanted to.
Right.
And I always kept telling myself, well, if I lived in a different country, or if I was in a different situation, like if I wasn't having to go out to work as a single parent, things like that, I was like, I'd do it. And then it came down to it, I was like, well, if I didn't, I would always regret it. So we just found a way to make it work. I'm like, well, go for it. Looked it up and we just went for it.
So did the childcare, did the childcare come as a sort of solution of how you could still be employed and be at home?
A little bit. I wanted to stay at home with Lizzie after she was born. I didn't want to be leaving her for a long time. And it seemed like the best way of being able to be at home with her and still earn an income as well. And it's great fun, so can't really complain about that.
No, totally. So what do you love about it?
Oh, definitely the freedom, the flexibility to take any little kind of sort of rabbit trail or interest that comes up that we can delve into, or to move on from things that we've got bored of. Definitely like the freedom of just being able to change it up and switch things around. And even though I've only been officially home educating for a year now, it's still the fact that some of the ideas that I went in with, oh, we'll do this this way, or we'll learn writing this way and things like that, she's completely turned them upside down and we're doing something totally different already. So it's it's nice to be able to do that, I think, and get the best from her.
Yeah, you can change things as you need to.
Yeah. You don't feel like tied into anything in particular.
Yeah. And I guess the nice thing is, I mean, this is the nice thing about like primary age is that means you can try lots of different things, and if some are more successful than others, it actually doesn't matter. Do you know what I mean? You're not on a timer.
But a lot of dabbling, and there's plenty of time. And I think the time is another big thing about how, obviously coming from a school background, seeing, especially in like the younger years, maybe not the early years, but once you get into like the key stage one, how long it takes to achieve a particular lesson goal, because you've got that many different groups, and the fact that sort of like that 2 hour window can be condensed into about 10 minutes, giving you an hour and a half to just play and be little, is, I think it's lovely to be able to like condense it down and make it efficient and gain back a little bit of extra time is definitely.
It also means the kids get stuck in quicker as well.
Yeah.
They're not having to have it explained and then have somebody maybe come to them, you know, to their table to kind of give them all the stuff or whatever. It's like,
well, it's all straight on their level and building on what they can do, and then it can be for as long or as short as however their concentration is working that day.
Yeah.
I think that works really well as well, because there's bad days and there's good days, but you think, oh, we'll come back to that tomorrow.
Yeah, totally. And sometimes it's like, they actually want more time, or they want to come back and they want to do it again or whatever, and you don't have to move on.
That's definitely. I mean, Lizzie went through a phase where maths books were her favourite thing, and I was like, we're not going to have any maths books till you're at least 7. I'm not going to do it. We'll do it all practical. And she got addicted to them, and every night before bed, I'd say, well, what would you like to do now? It's like, you know, bedtime treat. And she always wanted to do a maths workbook now. So and she now has a drawer of about 4 of them. But it's like, we weren't going to do that, but... She loves them. It's like a puzzle.
Yeah, exactly. You never know. And you never know what thing they're going to, you know, like we've had people who, their kid just loves copy work and like spontaneously does copy work and things like that. You never know what's going to, like pique their interest.
What's going to spark them and what they're going to be like really, really into and want to do all the time. It's just, well, okay, I'm not going to stop you from doing extra maths.
Yeah, it'd be very strange. Yeah, you'd be like, no more maths for you.
We did have to limit it for a while when she got like sort of working through. We had some that were Star Wars themed and she loved them. Right. But she got to the point where she's on to like, she was still only 4 and she was doing the age 7 books. And I'm like, we're going to have to rein this in a little bit, because I'm not sure how much of it you're actually taking. you're just going for it.
So what's been the hardest part?
Definitely initially it was the balancing, the fact that I do work from home and sometimes there's other children, sometimes there's only one, but occasionally we have a few.
Yeah.
And trying to get into that sort of routine, I think it's taken us like the whole of this year where I've been trying to sort of introduce some more kind of more formal time for like 10-15 minutes a day, not a lot.
Yeah.
But trying to introduce that and getting into a swing, I think that took a little bit of time, because I thought sometimes if we've got a lot of children or younger children, and sometimes I felt like Lizzie was kind of pushed a little bit to the side and just left for herself for a little bit.
Yeah.
But again, that's quite good. We need more independent play.
Well, yeah, and I think, you know, like if they were younger siblings or whatever, then they would take up some of the time. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I think that's helped, just like seeing it as, well, if I just had 2 or 3 children at home, this is how it would work, and kind of running it that way, so making the use of nap times and letting some of them play and coming together for stories and things, because I was trying originally to not kind of overlap sort of the home education and the childminder side, and then it got to, well, why not? So there are some things that we all do anyway.
Yeah, I could see there being quite a few things that just the other kids would be interested in.
Yeah.
Sort of, and you know,
a lot of the hands-on stuff and the playthings and the crafts and stuff we do all together anyway. That's great.
Yeah.
And I have kind of like consciously for the next couple of years as well kind of reduced how many little ones there are during the day.
So yeah.
It's a bit more like a family, less of a nursery, and I think that will help. But then it gets chaos at tea time, but no one ever asks about socialisation, so that's a good thing.
I say, you're one of the first, yeah, we're all one of the few homeschools, I guess, like, you know, like, what, well, I don't mean homeschool, but you know what I mean, get Ofsted inspected, because I guess as a childminder, you have to be.
An Ofsted, who comes less frequently than the local authority home educator lady wants to come. I'm like, yeah, whatever. But that's nothing. Yeah, that's
absolutely. I mean, that's part of the job, you know.
Yeah.
So how have you, I guess, I mean, the next question is, like, what have you done to make the hard thing easier? But I guess what you're saying is you've just sort of made small changes and.
Yeah, we incorporate it all together, and then we've kind of introduced sort of like schoolwork at different times and broken it into chunks. And one of the main things I did was I set up some learning drawers, and each drawer was like a different subject. And I just put in like pre-ready, like the maths books or the games or whatever it is for that subject. So even if we only have like a 10 or 15 minute while one of them's sleeping, we can open it and grab something and go. And that's made it really easy. And then we've incorporated, like, we changed what we read at bedtime to be sort of our read alouds or our history books and things like that for bedtime reading. Yeah. And it just spreads it throughout the day. And it kind of makes it feel less like we're kind of homeschooling and more just like we're learning as we're living. And it's really nice.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a big fan of taking the sort of ordinary bits of the day and just plugging in a little bit of something, like, not, you know what I mean, like, yeah,
adding it in, and just
your bedtime can be, that actually can be when you read aloud, it's okay, you know, that kind of thing.
It works really well. She takes in so much. So it's like,
well, I guess it's, yeah, and I guess it's nice, particularly if you've got a lot of after school like kids coming and stuff.
Nice, quiet
bit.
Yeah, and we utilise weekends and school holidays a lot, because I don't have, obviously I don't work weekends, and then holiday time I have fewer children. So we do actually school kind of almost in reverse. We do most of our kind of more sort of like sit down teachier stuff, like the maths, the reading, on the Saturdays and Sundays, and then just kind of like keep it up through the week with little practical things.
Yeah.
So it's almost like in reverse, but that works well too.
Oh, that's really clever. So do you end up looking after other home ed kids as well?
I don't at the moment, but mainly just because I'm already full.
Yes.
But I would be open to in the future if it came round. We kind of just can't sort of like wing on it a bit, because I don't know, as time goes on, sort of how many days I'll want to have children in for childminder and how many days Lizzie will want kind of one-on-one time.
Yeah.
So I'm going to find that balance as she decides she either wants more people around or less. We'll kind of go with the flow, I think.
Yeah, only because it comes up sometimes. I know certainly on our, like, on our local boards and stuff, you know, people just trying to work out how their job is going to fit around home education, particularly if they thought they were going to put their child in school and then circumstances changed and they, you know, they feel they want to home educate for a while, kind of thing. So
yeah, and then finding childcare, and I imagine that is probably harder for older children.
Well, yeah, I guess, you know.
You know.
Which is nice, nice to have home educators who actually childmind.
It might end up being, I suppose, a case of as Lizzie grows, we might take sort of more kind of the same age range as her.
And yeah.
At the moment, the long-term plans are still kind of like just, well, whatever comes.
Well, you don't know, do you? You don't know how it's going to sort of change and progress and things. And
with childmind as well, when you get families in, you often get babies in and you keep them sometimes for years and years, so they kind of feel like part of your family. It's like extra cousins and nieces and nephews, so you're always just, you keep who you've got and work around. And
well, yeah, because once you, yeah, cause it seems to me, like, once you've got really good childcare, you just want to hold on to it for dear life, kind of thing.
Yeah, it's just like having a big family and you just kind of keep working around, I suppose, and seeing what comes next.
Yeah, totally, that's really cool. So I mean, the next question is about a typical day in the life. Most people don't really have. How does that work for you guys?
Well, we do have a pretty structured day, as structured as it can be, because obviously we have to work around school pickups, which I suppose most home educators don't.
Yeah.
So we generally, Lizzie usually sleeps in, and I don't have many children that do a school run on the morning. So my mum normally takes any children we have to the school on the morning.
Right.
Because she does childmind with me, so she's here some of the time as well.
Yeah.
And then generally when Lizzie gets up, we have like a breakfast, and I normally only have like one sort of toddler at that time. And we all get around and we read and sing and do like some morning kind of things together. And then we just have free play, and we have a playroom that's got all the EYFS toys in, and they play in there until the little one has a nap. So the little one has a nap, and Lizzie will come and work through some of her draws and do like her maths, her writing, her reading, her things like that.
Yeah.
And then we have lunch, and then we spend all afternoon. We either play. Sorry, my dog's stamp. We either go out in the garden, or we take a walk, or if it's bad weather, we'll stay in the playroom again till we pick up the after school. So then we have to do the school run.
Yeah.
Which we have to kind of incorporate into the rhythm so it doesn't feel like it's getting in the way.
Yes.
And then we normally pick up sort of around six for after school. So then it's a bit like she's got loads of people to play with. We have different ages. We pick up from different schools, boys and girls. So there's a huge big mix, and they all get on great and they all play, whether it's games or in the garden or different things. So that's her whole, like, about 2 hours worth that point of just playing with friends.
Oh, fantastic.
Which is really nice. And then when everyone goes home, we tend to have a little bit of quiet time. We play some games. We're really into board games, card games, things like that. Most of them have quite a bit of learning in them too.
They do, yes. Game schooling and all that.
Yes. So we do a bit of that in the evening, and then we go to bed and have some bedtime stories. And that's how a normal like weekday would work.
That sounds lovely.
It's exhausting.
Yeah, I bet it is.
Lovely.
Is there a lot going on for home educators in your area?
There are a lot of groups and things, and there are some that we've wanted to get involved in, but it's quite hard because obviously I work still Monday, Friday, and even if I haven't got any little ones in, I still have to be back for the school pickups, so it does make that hard. So at the moment, we're not involved in anything, but I am hoping as time goes on, we might find a few.
Yeah. Do you have any resource recommendations? If you have game recommendations, we'll definitely take those. But, you know, resource recommendations for like other home ed parents.
Well, for resources, we just have lots and lots of nice books. I am converting like the room that's currently my bedroom. We've moved the playroom, so we're going to have a spare bedroom. And instead of having a spare bedroom, we decided to have a library.
Oh, so
on wall to wall bookshelves, because I've run out of bookshelves. Need more.
Yeah, it's easily done when you. Because it's line of work, isn't it?
It's a bit of a book hoarder, so this is just, and I need books for different ages. It just happens.
Well, indeed. Just another excuse to have a little bit more books. It's like, you know, yeah, totally.
I mean, we don't follow any like preset curriculums. I'm really bad at following anyone else's schedule or timetable.
Yes.
My days just are too all over the place and unpredictable to follow anything set. So we kind of have like lots of little things that we just can dip in and out of and put together and move on. We did try one in the beginning, and we only lasted a couple of months because we just ran out of steam. There wasn't enough change.
Yeah.
So we kind of have lots of different options. And game-wise, we have hundreds, if I'm honest. The favourite at the moment, my daughter's absolutely obsessed with Outfoxed.
Oh, we have Outfoxed. Outfoxed is fantastic.
It's quite a new one. We've only had it about a month, but everybody who comes into the house has to play it, and she gets so excited. It's crazy. And the other one she's really into at the moment is Monopoly Hotels.
Oh, I don't know that.
It's quite a good one. You build a hotel upwards, and it's like a quick, fast Monopoly, and there's not as much money involved. It's just like hundreds and fifties, so it's kind of like a step into Monopoly without it being a junior, which is good. But the only problem is she's won it every time against everybody. So I'm getting told it's not good to let her win all these games, and we're like, she's just got to the point where she now picks them up so quick and just beats us all. I've played twice, my mum's played, and my dad has seriously sat down and tried his absolute best to strategize and beat her, and she won. So that's the problem we have at the moment. And she's only five, and she's now like learning games that are like 10 and 12 year old kind of range, because we're trying to find something we can beat her at.
I guess it's that thing of like, well, you know, when you regularly play games, then kids understand how you play games.
Yeah.
And then the age groups don't really matter as much, because it depends on like your kid and how they are.
Yes, definitely. She'll still play, like we have a lot of sort of two-year-old games that we have out for the little ones, and she'd still love to play them and get the little ones involved too, so that's lovely.
Oh, that's lovely. So, where are we? Do you have any book recs, like for kids that read alouds and things?
Well, read alouds. Lizzie's really strange because I didn't think she would sit through kind of longer books, but when she was three, we were in the library and she was adamant she wanted to bring home Heidi.
Oh, wow.
She was three. We'd never read anything beyond like Julia Donaldson. And I was like, I don't think, but she was adamant. She was, I was like, okay, but you're not going to sit through it. And she sat through the whole thing. And it's now like 2 years later and she still talks about it as her favourite book. And I think at that point I realised I'd been completely underestimating what she could take in. So since then, her other favourite, we've read some of the Little House series and she loves those too. I've tried to share some of my favourites with her. I always liked animal books, but she's just not interested in animals. She likes books with little girls in.
Ah, yes.
She's into girly books. And I'm like, so that's what we're reading at the moment. There's some that we've had to stop, like we couldn't get through Winnie the Pooh or Alice in Wonderland. She didn't like those two.
Winnie the Pooh is quite hard to read aloud as well.
Yeah, I think it was the structure of it and the fact it was about a bear. It just didn't hold any interest for her at all. And I was like, but this is a good book. But nope, she wasn't interested.
She wants people books, that's what it is.
And she quite liked the Jungle Book as well. And she really likes Peter Pan and Robin Hood stories. So they're some of the favourites that we've read so far.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah.
So what would you want someone who doesn't home educate to know about home education?
I think just to understand that it looks different for every family and every child, that there's no set way to go about it. And I think that's the beauty of it and the fact that it is tailored to each child, that you can't really say what it's going to look like or how it's going to work. And probably the second thing that, yes, it doesn't take as much time as you think, because that's what I get asked a lot. I mean, I work, obviously, as a child mind, it's kind of 50 hours contact time. Yeah. And people, well, how do you fit it in? I'm like, I have time. It's not, she doesn't have to sit at a desk for 6 hours a day with me next to her. That's not how it works.
Yeah, I think totally.
The biggest thing that people ask all the time is, how do you fit it in? It's like, well, it doesn't take that amount of time. She can learn through lots of things and everyone can get involved together. And there are lots of different ways to learn, and she's covering more than she would in a school, but also has more time to still just play. I think that's a win-win.
Yeah, it's the best of both worlds, isn't it, really?
Definitely.
So tell people about your Etsy shop.
Right, so I've enjoyed painting for years and always done watercolours, and once I had a baby, somehow it became something that got pushed to the side. You know, those mum hobbies that you haven't got time for anymore. Mm-hmm. And as we kind of started building up through the child minding and the home educating, because I decided I was going to keep it home for nursery. So I was like, well, I'm running a nursery. I've got an offset inspection just as good or better than the local nursery. So like, there's no reason for her to go anywhere else. She can stay here. That was like the first step in staying home all the time. So we started on that, and I couldn't find things like posters or prints that kind of spoke to what I wanted to incorporate. I wanted like traditional paintings, more like watercolory. I could either find things that were like photographs or really cartoony, especially aimed at those younger ones. Yeah. And I was like, well, I'll paint some. So I started painting them, and then that led into opening up the Etsy. And I think the Etsy is coming up 2 years now since I've been doing the Etsy. It'll be up to in October. And at first it was just the odd things. It's kind of grown and grown to sort of thousands of followers, and it's built up on the kind of things that I produce. It's now broadened, so obviously as Lizzie grows, mm-hmm. we're delving into other areas and other subjects, and it's just fascinating. I just wish I could paint as fast as I could get the ideas.
Yeah, I hadn't looked at your shop for a couple of months, or maybe 3 or 4 months, and there's like the amount of stuff that's going in there. It's just growing and growing. I was amazed at how much more stuff there was in there.
Yes, that kind of started just a few months ago, to be fair. I was struggling to fit it in around working.
Yeah, completely understandable.
So I was like, I'm going to get up an hour earlier each morning.
Right.
And spend an hour at the beginning of each day, which turned into 2 hours, just painting at the start of each day. And it puts me in a really good mood for the day. And it's the productivity of how fast I can then paint has kind of gone through the roof. And I'm kind of catching up a little bit with the things that I want to get done for her. I feel like I've fallen behind a bit in August. We've had a bit of a lax August, so I've got some painting to do tonight. But but it has kind of kept it going a little bit. And I've sort of like, it's come to a point now where I'm like, it's actually bringing in sort of a part-time wage for me, which I didn't think it would ever do. And I'm like, that's amazing. It's obviously being home on my own.
Yeah.
Does mean that eventually I probably will be able to reduce the number of hours I charge mine to give Lizzie maybe a longer time, especially as she gets into maybe key stage 2 age and needs a bit more one-on-one time. So it's having that option. It's kind of almost a fail-safe, because when I originally fell pregnant, I was not in a particularly good financial situation. I was working as a TA, and if you know how much they're paid, it's not a lot.
No.
It wouldn't have covered the childcare cost for while I was at work.
No.
Had to be done. So to go on from feeling like everything's been so kind of tight and such working long hours and kind of 60-70 hour weeks to suddenly having a little bit extra coming in, and that choice of options it's nice.
Yeah. And you've got nature stuff on there, you've got geography stuff on there, I saw.
Geography, and there's literature, there's a bit more history coming in now because Lizzie's really into the history, so we're starting to work on that. So there's some Roman things going up this weekend.
Oh, brilliant.
Week, and hopefully some Viking stuff next month. We're kind of doing a different history theme each month for this year, with just a picture book and some games.
Yeah. Is
how we're doing it. Because she's really interested in it. We went to a Viking reenactment yesterday that was really exciting. I think she learned more there than she could have learned in a whole year studying Vikings.
Yeah, you've got to see it. You've got to see it and see people doing it and stuff. It makes such a difference.
And she takes so much in. She talks to everybody. She's not like me. I'm a complete introvert, and she'll just go up and talk to everybody. She was, you know, handling tools and playing games and attacking things. It's great.
And you very kindly have a discount code for us, listeners.
Yes. This will apply to anything in the shop, as long as it's at least 2 items in the basket. And if when you go to checkout, you type in the code HOMEEDPOD, all in uppercase, it'll take 25% off the total sales.
And that's running through this September.
And that'll run through the whole of September.
So that's September 2019 for people who are listening to the back archive.
Yeah.
You missed it. Go and check the Etsy shop anyways. They're very reasonably priced and it's lovely, lovely stuff.
I do often have discounts or special offers as well running through the Instagram, so it's worth checking there. And I also, on the website, which you can get through my Instagram, have a huge archive of freebies. If you haven't got any budget for buying resources, there's samples in there, there's extra cards, there's bookmarks, colouring sheets, all sorts of other things on that website as well.
So perfectly timed. Where can people find you?
Probably the best place is Instagram, which is fiddlesticks.kids. And I try to post on there daily, unless I'm absolutely whacked. So different things on there, what I'm working on, what's coming up, as well as the activities and lessons that I'm doing with Lizzie and with the Minded Children as well. So there's things for older kids and younger kids, and hands-on and play and outings. Lots of different ideas and things on there. And then through there, you can actually access the links to my website, which is where I kind of make notes of our curriculum and for Lizzie, and where I'm picking books and changing the lists and things. And my Etsy shop, which is Fiddlesticks Kids on Etsy. You can just search for it. That's fine. I'm trying to think, is there anywhere else? No, I do have a mailing list, but I'm not very good at remembering to send letters out on it. I have to apologise for that quite often.
It's a whole different beast, an email list.
Yeah.
Right, well, I will have all of those in the show notes. There'll be direct links to all of those. But yeah, otherwise, go to her Instagram at fiddlesticks.kids and that will have all the information there.
Yeah, and I'd love to get some more UK people to talk to. There doesn't seem to be that many of us about on Instagram, so come and say hello.
go through the home ed, go through the Home Ed Voices podcast, because I have loads of go through my Instagram on there, because I've got loads and loads of Brits on there. I'm gathering as slowly but surely, trying to gather us all together. They definitely are there, I promise. Right, thank you so much for coming on today. That's been fantastic.
Thank you for having me. It's been fun.
Good, I'm glad.
And there you go. If you want to find out more about any of the things we talk about in this episode, or to leave a comment, please go to the show notes on the blog at homeedvoices.co.uk, or follow the link on Instagram at homeedvoicespodcast, or Twitter at homeedvoices. This is episode 18. If you want to support the show, please rate and review at Apple Podcasts, as it helps more people find out about it. The Home Ed Voices podcast is an independent production and is created, hosted and produced by me, Katie Hanrod. The podcast theme tune is Hope for Tomorrow by Seastock. You can subscribe to the podcast at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, YouTube or anywhere else where podcasts are found. I'll be back with an episode 19 in 2 weeks, and until then, here's to more Home Ed adventures.